Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I once had someone, it was a friend actually, say to me after a long conversation, he said, well, I'm a positive person. I said, you are? Hold on a second, because we just had this conversation. Anyway, he was telling me about how his boss had basically broken the law and the way that they had treated him. And it, you know, I'm an attorney, so it was obvious to me. But he wasn't an attorney, and he was feeling very powerless in the whole thing. There are certain things that he could have done, clearly steps that he could have taken, but he didn't take any of those steps to protect himself or to defend. This is a common thing with anger repressors, to defend against some of the stuff that the boss is doing. Illegal things, granted, like that. Being an attorney, I'll tell you, any attorney would come in there and go, oh, yeah, this is easy to prove. This is so easy. But it's not just people not knowing the law. It's an emotional disempowerment that comes with anger repression. So basically, with anger repression, you're always in survival mode because you can't be yourself with people and you don't know what that is. So in other words, he had to be the kind of person at his job that went along with some really bad stuff. It wasn't just the fear of losing the job. It might look like that on the surface. And he would even say from time to time that I just don't want to lose my job. But then I would also hear him say at other times, I really need a different job. There was something else going on in that drama for him. And I knew that the whole time that he was telling me the story that led up to the point at which he said, I'm a positive person. Now, let me take you through the story. Well, I already have. He has this ongoing relationship with his boss in which he could take certain actions and not be on the receiving end of illegal activity. But his response to all that is, well, they can basically do whatever they want. And I said, no, they can't. They can't if you don't do anything. Anybody can do whatever they want if you don't defend yourself. Anybody can. But if you take that view that everybody's just going to do what they want, that's your powerlessness because that's you not doing what you need to do. Now, I didn't say all this to him because he's a friend. I'm just sharing it with you now. I shared some of it, though, within the context of friendship, and I was actually very direct. I didn't get his love and approval. I didn't hem-haw around or anything. I just didn't do a 30-minute podcast and send it to him. Maybe I can send this one to him. But I just listened to him say over and over some version of, they have all the power, I have none, and there's nothing I can do. And then, of course, part of being an anger repressor is you have to be the good person. So, and you have to make sure that everybody knows that the people around you are really the problem, but you're not. Or that you're the problem. You're all of it. And it tells you, it tends to be kind of both. I'll explain it. Like internally, an anger repressor very much beats themselves up and blames themselves for all sorts of things. That keeps them safe so they don't enter conflict. They don't express what's true for them. They just believe those things. However, when it comes to truly owning their right to defend themselves and to stand up and express what's true for them, they will start shadowing into their environment quite a bit. In other words, they're doing it to me. And that goes along with, you know, I'm a victim of it too. It goes along with the self-talk, but it's a defense. Without defending themselves, they're trying to emotionally protect themselves by saying, they're doing this to me. And of course, sometimes people are. Like the boss here is definitely doing something. But to say they're doing it to me does not acknowledge one's power. And I just mean on an emotional standpoint. I'm not saying that he should go do X, Y, and Z. I'm saying that he can't because of a disempowerment from his emotional body, which had him believing things. Like there's nothing I can do. They have all the power. And he wasn't willing to and didn't know how to examine any of those thoughts because he doesn't do this work. So he's sitting there just believing them. And when I try to insert something into the conversation, which would break up his thinking, he actually would just double down on his perspective. So I would say, but look, you could easily file this with this office. What they did was illegal, and that would stop the whole thing. The agency would come in there and stop the whole thing. And then he went on with, well, last time I even brought in a doctor's excuse, she laughed at it. You see the powerlessness? Instead of addressing the issue directly, it just cite an example that proves it won't work from the past. And that's that victim consciousness that lives in, because when something happens to an anger repressor where someone hurts them, they double down on the conditioning that I can't do anything about that. It happens as soon as they're kind of victimized, because that's what protected us when we were kids, is like, if you hurt me, then I have to protect myself from you. I can't stand up, but I know I have to protect myself from you, which means hide or be false with you. And that's what he was living in. And so he couldn't see, forget that there's a reality as one objective reality, but he can't see beyond his, or couldn't see beyond his conditioning that was making sure that he had no power. I mean, none. There wasn't even one opportunity that he was willing to take of all the suggestions that I made. And after about three, I stopped. And then what he said was, Scott, I bet you haven't met anyone as fucked up as me. I said, I know you don't know what I do for a living, but when you say fucked up, that's not a good way of saying it. People have trauma, and I work with people with repression and suffering, and many of them believe they're fucked up too. But yes, I work with people every day who really believe that they're fucked up. So no, this is not anything new. I did say that to him. And then right after that, I said, but look, even if you feel that you're fucked up, couldn't you, if you, what if you took one action here to see if your thinking is just your thinking? If you took one action and something happened, you might be able to step out of this. And his answer was this, but Scott, I'm a positive person. Well, can we define positive person? Once he said this, because he's not open to inquiry, I just kind of left the conversation. We talked about other things. I'm probably going to come back to him on it, but I don't have any energy to fix or save him. He's just a friend. And so that conversation is actually over. But this whole thing about being a positive person is the false identity of the anger repressor. I have to be good. I have to be positive. I have to not rock the boat, not speak up, not create conflict, because all this is to get love and approval. This isn't because the anger repressor is exceptionally and objectively righteous, but anger repressors will think that. They'll think, well, I'm just doing the right thing here. By not ever defending yourself, does that make you a positive person to never defend yourself? But these are the kinds of things that anger repressors believe. I used to believe it. I used to believe if I'm sitting here defending myself, especially with any emotion, I'm just stuck. I'm triggered. The point is this. The reason that we're triggered is the anger repression. He was triggered in this state of self-protection so that he would not get angry at his boss. And he was in that loop of believing the stuff that would keep the anger down. But the loop was telling him things that just appeared objective, as if he's just experiencing reality as it is, which is, of course, what we have to do when we have suffering, is believe what's happening. But he really has to believe in his reality, because this is how he survives, that he's a positive person. When actually, if you would have watched that conversation, you would not have been left with that impression. I don't think you would have. Because he was really suffering. And if you listen to him, it's like his whole environment sucks and his life sucks. and there's nothing he can do about it, but he's a positive person. The need for people to see us in a positive light comes straight from fear as an anger repressor. When people say they're good or they're positive, that's a compulsion. That's not reality. Anger repressors have to believe that they're good, because that's how we survive what we think is a world or an environment that's hostile, that we grew up in. Whether we were rejected by dad or criticized by someone or bullied. But most anger repressors who have to be good are actually suffering. So it's not that good at all. It's not good. It's an ego. It's not really what it looks like. This is really hard to see. This is something that I could not see even after my non-dual realization, because there's such a payoff in being good. Positive is a little bit funny because, when I think of positive, I think of like someone who's just always very upbeat. But, roughly all this stuff falls into the category of goodism. I have to be perfect. I have to be seen as good or peaceful, coming from buried anger and hurt. The sheer amount of suffering of people who believe that they're good is, it's in the science. That anger repression is one of, if not the number one, contributing factor to so many different things, forms of suffering. Inherent in that is an understanding that humans are having to be false with each other. And a big part of it is that some humans really have to believe that they're the positive ones in a relationship or a group, and therefore they remain powerless to make change, to even make transformation in their own body, actually. And why would we do that? Because we get love and approval. You know how many times I've heard an anger repressor complain, well, throughout the years, some customer service issue, like to be triggered, but then only to say, well, I'm just asking questions. Or, well, just not taking ownership. There's so much pain in the body of someone who has to be good. There's so much. They can't own it. They can't own their own pain. The upset. An anger repressor who gets upset, that's threatening. And that's why a lot of anger repressors come to spirituality, to put out the fires of those triggers. They don't realize they're trying to keep all the anger down. And then spirituality can cultivate this good persona, this peaceful persona, positive, quiet. And then nobody touches the anger. And we're just sitting on it. If you go down a non-dual path, you're not likely to like hear thoughts like, I have to be a good person. Because it's deeply buried in your body. It would just be that you always appear that way. And that you don't take accountability for any of the other emotions in life which aren't so good. And so therefore you shadow them onto other people and create separation in relationship. Even people who've had a realization do this. Because as long as you think you're the good one, there has to be another somewhere. And that's the duality that comes from repression. When we believe we're good, we get in relationships with people that we see to be bad or just not as good as us. Not morally, but like, angry or upset more than we are. We need those relationships so that we can continue to believe that we're good. We need to surround ourselves with, and sometimes even need to fix them, change them. When we have plenty of work to do, our suffering is coming from the buried anger, but we're often busy doing that. being good, helping, being a good partner, a friend, a mother. But from what? Buried anger. Why does it matter? Because it brings suffering. People say, well, isn't it good to be kind? It is not good to be false because it brings suffering into the world. It's not good or bad. I'm just using the word good to counteract the idea that being a good person is the most important thing, when actually authenticity is the medicine for everything, for us to end our diseases and a lot of them, not all of them, and our relationship issues. Being good people will not resolve relationship issues or world issues. It's just another camp in the divide of being human, and it comes from repression. A lot of times, anger oppressors don't want to give up this identity because they really think that the bad in the world, there'll be nobody there to counterbalance or fight it. But the bad in the world is there because you identify as someone good. We create that. Those shadows of the narcissist and the big bad wolf or the... Yeah, there are those experiences in life of people who show up a certain way, but we also make our identity out of the opposite of it so that we can stay separate. And I guess it wouldn't be so bad, except that we do it through false means to get love and approval. And so we're never authentic, even though we appear good. And so we bring suffering to relationships because we won't take accountability for real emotions. Therefore, we can't resolve real issues. It's just too scary, and we don't. We just want to be good. We want everything to be at peace or to be right so that we don't have to feel. And that's what it's really about. An anger oppressor just can't say to someone, here's how I really feel. And it's not just anger. Because if you start to be vulnerable, it could get too close to anger. So often, when I say vulnerable, like hurt or sadness, anger oppressors will often hold that back to some degree. And therefore just holding self back, trying to be good, but not aware of it. I know this is a hard one because some people will say, well, shouldn't we strive to be good? Well, you were saying that because you have anger repression. You're driven by it. That's like... This, you know, Einstein said, the same mind that created it can't fix it. Or searching for an enlightenment in which you're the perfectly good person or the perfectly peaceful person serves the repression. Because your actual awakening will not look like that. It's not like you're going to be bad. It's just that you're not going to be identified with that either way. If you go into the body. It's a simple kind of violence. I want to tell you just examples of it. It's like being in conversations with an anger repressor who is really complaining about something, but not being direct. And so in complaining and being triggered about it, it goes on and on because they can't resolve it within themselves. And because they're not willing to feel the anger and express it, they put it on you. And we call it a trigger or whatever. We get locked into these conversations. You don't even realize you're in a conversation with an anger repressor. But it's like they can't let go of something. It's a big part of it. Is because, well, why can't they let go of it? Because they're angry. They can't express it. So they'll argue with you. And then they won't take responsibility quite often. It's not everybody. But look at this. Like if I'm sitting here arguing with you, I can't take responsibility for the fact that I'm angry. Because I'm not really angry when I'm arguing. I might even be really deflecting away from that by saying, well, we're just talking. I'm just asking. It's just, it could almost be like covertly narcissistic, actually, to be seething in anger at the very core and then at the surface to just say, I don't know what you mean. I'm just asking, we're just talking. we're not actually just talking. When you have anger repression, you're trying to get your needs met. You're trying to stay safe and get love and approval, and that's the agenda. So you might tell yourself you're being good or you're just talking, but what's really happening is that you're working out your issue with someone. You're working out your pain in that trigger so you don't have to feel it. You could easily just get angry at the person and just move on. But if you can't, you'll hold on to it. And even if you don't stay talking to the person, you'll hold on to it even after you leave the person's company. And it's not about the person. It's about the anger that you can't open to. But that's the damage that anger repressors do, because they make it about people and situations when it's really about their own fear of being themselves. But, you know, people can't see the danger done by us because we appear a certain way. And you have to be really aware or awake to see how anger repressors do it. You have to really be embodied yourself. Because at the surface here in society, we reward this behavior every day. That's because there's a lot of anger repression, but also because we don't really know how to be conscious and authentic yet as a species. So we're just still stuck in these ideas that people are supposed to be this or that from our conditioning. We haven't given it a chance to see who we really are as humans because, you know, we're still too afraid to open to all the emotions. This one's going to be so hard for some people, and it's the core for those people because we get rewarded. See, it's not just by being a good person. It's by, like, in a conflict, not being the angry one, even though the anger repressor is the angry one. They just buried it, but they'll appear as if they're not the angry one. So they'll walk away feeling okay about themselves, even though they were the angrier one, usually often. Because if you're an anger repressor, you're the angry one. But the way how false it is at the surface, either through people pleasing or trigger even, that person gets to walk away believing that they're still a good person just because they didn't get angry. Even a trigger is safer. So even like as an anger repressor, me getting involved with a trigger and hurting you was safer than getting angry at you. I couldn't control myself. The triggers were just there. I couldn't let something go. And I think that's one of the main triggers of the anger repressor is never to enter a conversation or to not let go of it. Because it's like avoidance of conflict, or you're in the conflict, but you're not being authentic. So it has to keep going on because of being identified with safe things, arguments, blaming, instead of, I'm angry at you. You hurt me. Anger repressors can't do that. And so it just has to drag on. Unless they're in a relationship with somebody who will set a boundary and say, no, I'm not going to do this with you. And I do it all the time. After a little bit of going back and forth where I can see you want to be right, I'm out. I'm not doing it with you. Because it's a real violence, actually. And it comes from within. And it comes from like a fear of feeling something. To go back and forth with people on practically anything. Because once you can feel and express what's true, it's clear how you feel. But if you can't feel and express what's true, it's never clear. So you have to keep going back or you don't feel heard. But how can you feel heard if you repress anger? So it just goes on and on. It can. Until somebody says no. It's like an anger repressor will be both repulsed by conflict, but once in it, can't let go. There's a lot at stake in any conflict for an anger repressor. There's a sense of not being loved, which implicates a major need. And more than that, really, is implicating the need for safety because you have to hold the anger back through the whole thing and maintain the image at the surface. So that's hard because at the very core, in a trigger, an anger repressor is really angry. So the facade can never show that, even on social media. So it's like, an anger repressor will edit their responses because they don't want to they still want to be right, but they don't want to come off a certain way. The authentic emotions really can't be there. So that happens even in person. It's not just editing on social media. There's an editing program within the anger repressor, which is constantly filtering, not only filtering experience, but making sure that the way that he or she talks doesn't bring about conflict or the other person's anger. Of course, on one hand, we're all innocent. And so when you hear something like this, you can feel like attacked. But that's okay, because it really is. Because you need to feel this. I had to feel it too. When somebody called me on my shit, it can be narcissistic, but we will not own it. Because we're trying to get our needs met through false means, just like any narcissist. But because we do it a certain way, it can be a really sensitive topic to bring up. It's like saying the way that you are is false. So that there's no way that that's ever going to land really well when somebody's doing that, because they have to defend against it. It really has to be an internal process. Even if something like this upsets you, still go within and find the anger repression and stay earnest, because the trigger will try to keep you. Even with this, there are people right now arguing with me who are listening. That's it right there. Instead of going down into the body, staying safe through, you know, well, I don't believe, I don't agree, I don't, but only your body tells the truth. That's what an anger repressor will do, is sit there and stay in the mind or in awareness, not knowing how they really feel ever, and then convinced that the real problem isn't the buried anger. And the whole mind is there just to make sure that's never discovered. So I would definitely go to the body. You have every right to disagree with me, of course. But if your disagreement is the same trauma response that you've had with a lot of things, this is the place where you could really investigate it. So I guess I just want to do a little bit of aftercare, because, see, I was triggered into developing this work because somebody kind of said this to me in so many words. You know, you're being false. Your physical disease there is probably emotional. That's terribly threatening, especially to a non-dual teacher who didn't know he had repression. It was terribly difficult to face. And I faced it through avoidance first. I processed the trigger on the surface, which was actually proof of the repression driving the trigger, but I couldn't access the repression in that trigger. So I felt more peaceful, and I went back to my partner and realized that's the fucking problem, is that I sit here and process till I'm at peace, but I'm not authentic. And that's what he was saying. And it's like I learned it, but I had to learn it through pain, and some others will too. Because what else will wake us up out of something that's actually meeting our needs, even though it's the same, it is the source of our suffering? I hope that if nothing else, you look at being a positive person differently, and that maybe something more authentic can come through for you if you process buried emotions. Don't land there on being a positive person. Do you know how much I had to hide and bury to be good? Anger, sex stuff, body. I had to hide myself to be something false, and that's what you'll have to do too. No matter if it's a good false self, it's still suffering. If you're interested in starting this work, it's for free now. You can start it for free. Learn the first tool of it called the safety net. And the link for that is in the description. Thank you for listening.